You're listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, guys. Welcome back. Tonight's topic, albums you love, but the critics can't freaking stand. What the hell's the matter with these critics? What's going on? We're going to figure it all out tonight. Plus, we're going to be talking about your picks of your favorite albums as well. Join us here live with the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. You're listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. All right, everybody, welcome back. You are with the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Tonight in the studio with us, we have the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio.
What's up?
Actually, Ludini from Rock Rage Radio and Keith the Hawk Hawkins from Rock Rage Radio chiming in all the way from New Orleans. What's up, Keith?
What's up? How's it going?
It's going
Got
great.
Some water there, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. Real quick, let's get the podcast beeswax out of the way real quick. LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is the website. Please go there, pick up some cool merchandise. Please share the podcast around. We're playing some cool indie bands lately. Tonight we're going to play a band called Sova. And when you share the podcast around, it gets these guys a little bit of promo. It lets your friends know about the cool bands. And it's fun talk. I mean, that's really what the program is all about. And I think everybody's going to enjoy it. So feel free to hit that share button. If you want to get in on the sort of behind-the-scenes stuff, you want some exclusive music, some exclusive video, please join us at LouLombardiMusic.com/InnerCircle. That's our Inner Circle group, LouLombardiMusic.com/InnerCircle, where you can get some exclusive music, exclusive video, and exclusive conversation with me and the lovely folks here. All right, guys, here we go. So, we have a good topic tonight, but first, I think we need to talk about a few things. It's been insanely wet. Here in, like Bon Jovi says, slippery when wet.
And not just the usual.
No, I mean, yeah, like just crazy here with the weather. And today I had a flood here in the studio over the weekend. And we've been cleaning up today and got a lot more to do. But we are here to get it done. So I hope that wherever you are, you're okay. Did you guys get any water down there, Keith?
Oh, yeah, it rains all the time here. That's all it does. It rains every day for at least a couple hours. Then it goes away, and the next day, it comes back again. Now like a neighbor kid.
Now, but you guys, you don't have a basement.
Nah, so, there's not a lot of basements in New Orleans.
So you don't get, but do you get any water in your house?
Nah.
Good. Bless you.
Not yet. It rained like a bitch today, and there was no water. There is now, but the beautiful thing is, I'm going to start renting out kayaks and rafts and stuff. There's a lake outside. There's a lake outside. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start renting out boats and just little, you know, kayaks, whatever floats, you know, your boat. No pun intended.
So to speak.
I'm waiting to see a friggin' alligator out there. That's going to be the end of it.
That'll be your new pet.
I'm not petting that thing.
Well, wait a minute. Weren't you telling me that here in Washington, right here in Washington, PA, there was, people were kayaking down Chestnut Street?
Yep, right in front of the Denny's.
Wow, are you serious? Wow, that's pretty,
yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty great.
There was two of them.
I have never seen, maybe whenever they had, was it Hurricane Hugo or the one where all the shit got washed
Katrina.
Out? Like, which one
Katrina.
Was Katrina? Ivan, maybe, where, because there was tons of stuff around here. We had gigs that night that were canceled. And Chartier's Creek was flowing up.
Oh my God!
It was flowing up over top of that bridge there. You know where down where the Walgreens all was. It was literally lapping up onto that bridge. That's how bad it was. So I haven't seen anything like that since then. I mean, you know, this was insane. Just like torrential downpours, like all day, every day for like 3 days straight.
Yeah,
right?
It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I can't. I don't
crazy.
Like weather. I guess. So I don't like snow. I don't like rain.
Yeah, it was messed up. So, anyways, I made it through the rain.
Oh my God!
And kept my point of view.
Singing hour.
So Barry Manilow. We're going to be talking about the great metal songs of Barry Manilow tonight. So
he has them.
Appreciate you guys joining in. So do you want to get into this, or what do you think? So we're going to be talking about albums that critics went.
I was surprised.
But I loved, and you loved, and Keith loved, you know. So do you got any personal ones you guys want to share before we kind of start putting a list together? Any ones you go like, oh, what the fuck? I really loved that album. Well, there goes the, I guess we have to put the explicit label on this one already.
Already. And
yeah.
So any personal ones?
I didn't have any personal ones on here. I just had a list of ones I enjoy. You want me to just go?
Well, there's one that was like, this isn't that when I, because we do research for this. We all search the internet and everything to come up with what we want to talk about. But this is just a record that I absolutely love. I'm not nuts about instrumental rock. To me, great instrumental music is jazz. You know, if you're John Coltrane or Miles Davis or Charlie Parker, those guys, you know, yeah. I want to listen to you play instrumentally. But I'm not real crazy about instrumental rock albums. So I am not real nuts about most of Steve Vai's catalog. However, I love the album Sex and Religion because he did it with a great singer, Devin Townsend. And that album has terrible reviews. Even like Guitar Player Magazine and stuff panned it as being like, oh, they're overplaying and stuff like that. Like, what the fuck do you expect? You've got Terry Bozzio, T.M. Stevens, Devin Townsend, and Steve Vai. They're going to freaking play. So, anyways, that's like one of my like personal, that's like album I like played over and over and over. And I can't get anybody, very few people are like, yeah. They all like that other album that he did, the Passion and Warfare. Everybody likes that album, but nobody likes Sex and Religion. But that's just like, you got a personal one like that, Keith, that you really love that, you know, critics have always hated, just one that you really dig?
Yeah, there's several, I've been researching ones, there's several, you know, legendary albums that Rolling Stone magazine, you know, of all people who just seem to bash everything.
They hate everything.
They bash something, and then it's like, years later, like somebody else brings it back and gives a pat on the back and is like, no, we didn't mean to do that.
Oh, we're just dumb.
There's a lot of albums like that where they do that, and then years later, they're like, oh, that album. Great. It's like, well, you already said it's not.
Well, you know, here's my thing with a lot of like these like real like trendy sort of magazines and blogs and stuff like that is like they pick a lot of artists who, in my opinion, can't fucking play. It's like if somebody can actually play and sing, they're like ruled out. You know what I mean? They love bands like the Ramones and Velvet Underground. And, you know, I mean, like, the Ramones are better than Velvet Underground. But, I mean, the Ramones still, I mean, those guys are just like, you know, I mean, I played, you probably did too, Keith. Maybe you did too, Lily. I played in bands like that in the garage when I was just learning how to play guitar. That wasn't, like, ever music that, like, anybody was going to believe was, you know, going to take seriously, like, you think that you were good. I mean, if you got up and played like that, you know, in a club or something like that, you get booed off the frickin' stage. The Rolling Stones, like, oh, the Ramones, they're the new, you know. I mean, those guys, I mean, I respect the Sex Pistols. I respect punk rock and stuff like that, but it's not good. You know?
It's meant to be, like, less than 3 minutes long and quick and dirty.
And I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But you can play. Here's a band that can play that plays punk rock, The Clash.
Yeah,
these guys can play their instruments. They sing harmonies. They got all kind of cool stuff going on. You know, you can still be a good Elvis Costello. You can sing and play and be a great songwriter and everything and play punk rock. But be good. Why do you have to suck?
You know what David Lee Roth once said about Elvis Costello? He was like, critics love him. They look just like him. That's why.
That's true.
When it comes to great quotes of all time, always great philosopher, Diamond Dave.
Diamond Dave, man. If Diamond Dave says it, man, you know, it must be true. Okay, so let's start talking about some of the albums that the critics, some of these legendary albums that critics went But you and me and everybody else pretty much thought we're pretty cool. So, Lily, why don't you chime in? Why don't you start? Ladies first.
Oh, thank you. So I'm going to go with Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin, 1969. So what I did was I kind of found some of the critiques, I guess, and I wrote them down. So what they said about this was Jimmy Page is a very limited producer and a writer of weak, unimaginative songs.
Didn't they also say they sound like Cream, only worse?
Yes,
or something?
They did say that too. Cream is also on my list.
That's what Lester Bang said that about Black Sabbath.
Yeah, Lester Bang. Yeah. Did you ever see the movie Almost Famous?
Yes.
Philip Seymour Hoffman plays Lester.
Yeah, he does a great Lester awesome. Bang there. That's probably. I never met Lester Bang, but I'm assuming that's pretty damn close to what he was like.
Yeah, kind of very pretentious. Oh man, rock is so over, you know.
Critics never liked any of his albums, so you could probably take the whole list.
They
like Zeppelin 4 more than any of them.
Well, Physical Graffiti is considered their masterpiece by the critics. And it was a big commercial success, and that is the record that, like, you know, the kind of everybody can kind of agree on. But I'm sorry, the first four albums are great.
If you don't
like them, you're stupid.
I mean,
you're MR stupid.
Communication Breakdown. Come on, there's a lot of good songs on that one.
Do you want to hear one?
Their later albums are great too. Into the Outdoor, Coda, Presence. They're underrated albums. There's songs on all those albums that are really, really legendary.
I checked this out. Here's Nuclear Assault doing Good Times, Bad Times.
Oh, perfect. Let's hear it. Let's hear it again.
Going crazy in a cowbell. All right, it's a little Nuclear Assault.
Keeping electric on track, man.
What was that?
He's keeping the drummer's keeping alive. Original track was.
No, that sounds good. That sounds good. That sounds good. I like the aggressiveness of their version. But the executive producer on this is? It just flashed across the screen. Miles Copeland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just flashed across the screen real quick. So things you didn't know, you can go to, you guys can check it out. If you do a YouTube search on Nuclear Assault, or just search Good Times, Bad Times, metal cover, and you'll find it. But it's a fun cover of that song. But Led Zeppelin 1, I mean, what do you think? I think that's a really good, especially for a debut album.
Right.
I mean, like,
it's
very strong. Classic songs. Like, Good Times, Bad Times, Communication Breakdown, Dazed and Confused.
Dave, I'm going to leave you.
No, the rip of the first few albums was just kind of a, you know, doing blues rip off of the crew, but I mean, it just kicked in on that. So, I mean, years later, they went on to talk about, you know, not crediting people. And
well, I mean, there's no doubt that Led Zeppelin evolved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the second album is an evolution. The third album is a kind of a little bit of departure with more acoustic type stuff on
it. They tried everything.
Yeah,
they really did.
I mean, they did a lot of different stuff. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that their first record sucked.
Mm-mm.
Just because, you know, they hadn't evolved yet. I mean, come on. Keith, what do you got, buddy?
Okay, and the first going back to of course Rolling Stone again. I've been the whipping boy this entire time, but Rolling Stone magazine's first issue ever, Dog, or Experience by Jimi Hendrix, and basically said that Jimmy's message. He's a great guitar player, but Jimmy's message is a drag, and it's not going to really, you know, mount anything for him. Then they, like I said again, same magazine turns around and gives it 5 stars in 2004. So that's
right.
Whoever was manning the, you know, ship at that point didn't like Hendrix for whatever, and or somebody else didn't know what Hendrix is. All right, like some except for Stone, they feel like dicks.
I don't know, man. You know. I mean, you know, you got to put stuff into space and time. I mean, maybe at that in that era, because you had Cream, you had all these bands, you had the Jeff Beck Group, you had all these things kind of coming out at the same time. So maybe Rolling Stone was like, oh, this is just the kind of same old, same old. I mean, I don't know. I'm just grasping at like what the sort of thought process might be. You know,
that was the rip on a lot of critics too on Zeppelin was back, you know, even back to them because they were getting hammered right with people, not Rolling Stone, but every magazine. A lot of people would just say it's not the yard, it's not that, it's not the same as the Who.
But like,
you know,
why do they have to compare it like that? It's something different.
It's just, people can't do their own thing without getting torn apart.
Well,
I think
what happens too is like, I think a couple of things happen. Is I think one of the things that happened is if you get like 20 bands that come out that all sound like Cream, okay, you know, I can understand where you could kind of compare Led Zeppelin to Cream. You could compare Jimi Hendrix Experience to Cream. I could get that. I mean, it's, you know, it's heavy blues based rock. I get that.
Nope.
But these guys did not have kind of the benefit of history, and to kind of see how this music really affected people. So, you know, they're kind of looking at it kind of one dimensionally. They can't, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. And I remember being in college in the music department, and we had an argument about Tom Petty. And one of the, you know, vocal majors there was like, oh my God, that guy's a terrible voice. You know, I can't believe, you know, that sucks. And, you know, I was arguing for Tom Petty, and one of the grad students chimed in and said something I thought was very pithy. And he said, the only true judge is time.
That's true.
And you look now at somebody like Tom Petty, and he's considered like one of the great classic artists of all time, whether you like his voice or not or whatever. You know, it's come around. It's like, and I think that's the same way with like Led Zeppelin. That's one of those bands that, like, arguably, I mean, on some people's lists, the greatest rock band of all time. On a lot of people's lists. Yeah. So, but you got to understand, all of a sudden this band comes out that they're brand new. They do this thing that sounds at first blush, maybe, like Cream. At first blush, at a casual listen without really kind of paying too much attention to it. You know, it could be written off as something like that without putting too much thought into it. Who knows? And maybe the guy had a stick up his ass about blues-based rock. Maybe just sick of it. You know what I mean? It could be anything. Which
Cream is the best. It never happened.
Cream is what? You cut out for a second. What'd you say?
I said, Cream's the best thing that ever happened. If Cream would have stayed together, Clapton, not that he'd have a good career, but Cream, Clapton's just, sorry, guitar players, he's bland shit, man.
I think that Clapton, in my opinion, that is my personal favorite music that he did. There's some other things along the way that he did. I like the albums. Behind the Sun and Journeyman. I like those two records, but he didn't. And then when Cream tried to get back together, it was too late. Did you ever see that? Yeah. That reunion concert's embarrassing.
We talked about that before.
Yeah, it's just
sad.
The one in the Royal Albert Hall?
Yeah,
one?
Yeah. It's like, please,
yeah,
just stop.
That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. I mean, music criticism. I mean, anybody can get on and say they like this or they like that. Or they don't like this. Or they can say that this sucks. That's a great way to get readers, right? Just pick something that's really popular and talk about how bad it sucks. You're going to get all kind of people like, that's huge. I wish I'd have thought of that. you know, so I think there's some shenanigans with the whole like music critic thing. I'm sorry. I know that. Some people would disagree with me on that, but
that's why I'm smart, man. If I just thought Clapton, all the hate mail just pour in, would be soaring.
Yeah,
get 1,000 hits already in an hour. Let the hate pour in.
Yeah, I mean, it just I know, but I mean, a lot of people absolutely freaking love him. But the most people that love him from that era, that's when they were really introduced to him. And I think that they kind of just went along with whatever he did after that. But I, my personal opinion is, like, that fire he had in that cream era for those couple of years, I don't think he's equaled that, in my opinion. I mean, his last album, his last album was called Old Socks. I'm like, what the fuck? Who calls their album Old Socks?
Maybe he
obviously
can.
Obviously, his socks are maybe just as old as he is, so I don't know.
Somebody said to me, old socks stink. I'm like, well, there you are.
Smelly.
Yeah. Oh, God. What do you got? What do you got, Lily?
Speaking of Cream, there is one that I read some bad reviews on. Wheels of Fire from 1968. Cream is good at a number of things. Unfortunately, songwriting and recording aren't among them. The lyrics are not much to speak of when they're talking about the song White Room.
Wow.
Sounds pretty harsh. For,
Is that from Rolling Stone?
That is from Rolling Stone, yes.
Dicks. Pure dicks. I mean,
Rolling Stone hates on everybody. At first.
Yeah.
And then they take it back.
Well, you know what? No. That don't count.
I know.
That don't.
I'm just saying,
that doesn't fly
they
because
try to do that.
Because you can't like stand, put your finger up, lick your finger, put it up in the air, and see which way the wind's blowing, and change your mind. It's not this. That's, you know, I mean, like, you know, when you're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and Regis says, "Is that your final fucking answer?" That's your final fucking answer. You don't can't go back and say, "Oh, I meant to say that one that's going to give me $1 million."
No takesies, backsies.
No takesies, backsies. Yeah, so fuck you, Rolling Stone. I can't stand that magazine.
I used to love it just for like some of the covers,
God.
But that's about it.
No, the covers were cool. The good they had good photos and stuff like that.
That's about but it. Oh, and the letters to Charles Manson.
Yeah, and they think that they're some kind of political geniuses and stuff too, and they're not. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Nope.
I actually used that magazine a lot.
Uh huh. How?
In the bathroom.
It's in the shitter when I run out of. I wipe my glasses for Katy Perry.
I mean, they don't like anybody good. They don't like Rush. I know you're not a huge Rush fan, Lily.
I have a Rush one in here too.
But I mean, they are. I mean, you got to give the devil his due. I mean, Rush is a good band. I mean, what the fuck?
I like Rush. Unfortunately, my ex-husband overplayed Rush, so I'm just not into it.
Well,
right,
let's
now
find this motherfucker and kick his ass.
He lives,
Keith,
in Butler.
You ready, Keith? Flying up. We're going to Butler tonight. Catch the red eye.
Man, I don't have time for that. You don't like Rush.
Oh, he's remarried and everything, so it's fine.
Yeah, so let's move on.
Okay. Must we move on?
Yes.
All right, somebody pick. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't get to play you guys.
You didn't get to play yet.
Oh, check this out. Hold on. Here, check this out real quick, because we were talking about Jimi Hendrix. Here's a Lexington Lab Band covering Manic Depression.
Manic Depression.
King's X cover that on a
Yeah, they did actually. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm not sure I was allowed to play that one, so I found these guys practicing in their basement, you know, doing a cover of it. Oh God. I mean, YouTube and Facebook are so like such dicks, man. They don't understand music promotion. Anyway, I'm not going to go there tonight. I could. I'm going to like these guys because this is cool. Lexington Lab Band. You can find them on YouTube. They're cover Manic Depression. It's a cute. It's a cool little video, huh?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, they have this cool little studio set up, and they sound good. They're executing it very well.
It makes
me
want to hang out with them.
Yeah, there's some guys jamming on some Jimi Hendrix. So, all right. So, anyway, so we talked about Cream. We talked about Hendrix. What are we talking about now, Keith?
Well, the one I have, I should think about a Cream album, a comparison. The one I read it from Lester Bangs, but he didn't like the first Black Sabbath album. Mm. And he also went on to say that if brain cells were a grain of sand, you could fill the Grand Canyon by listening to them.
Whoa! Lester!
Is
and he also
went
on to say, they step all over their musical perimeters, and they actually sound like Cream, but they're worse. So he had a lot of love for those bands.
He was a grouchy man.
Lester Bangs himself, the rock journalist of all time, the enemy, as they were calling him. That's an almost famous reference. Okay.
Covering that's like the Cancer Bats covering NIB, so we'll let that stew in the background. Look, granted, their first album, I mean, it's got NIB on it, and you know, it's a cool album. It's not like their greatest album ever.
But it's still good.
And this is heavy metal coming onto the freaking scene. But
that's what the thing. Nobody knew how to take that record, so they were completely. Lester Bangs probably sat there, was all drinking pop syrup and shit, and all stunned, and basically just listened to
what
it. Didn't get it. Nobody got it, and it must be legendary. It started a whole new form of music that, you know, would punch you in the face. So Sabbath, they are the godfathers of heavy metal, which a lot of people do think they are. Their first album, well, their best album, but. At the same time, Lester Bangs just didn't get it. So Lester took a little thumbs down for that.
What people don't understand, I think, and I think this is the sort of social media version of criticism. People think, you know what? When you hear the words, when somebody says criticism, almost everybody has like a negative kind of connotation. But that isn't really what criticism really is, because one of the things I did a lot of in college was literary criticism. And music criticism should be more like, you want to think more like what literary criticism is. And what literary criticism is kind of like a deconstructing of the story or the novel. Not like, is it good or bad? Not is it like overdone and so tired and so yesterday, and you know, that's not what criticism is.
Just sucker, it doesn't.
No, what criticism should do is help people put music in context of the socioeconomic sort of situation, the sexual politics of what the music is all about. Because, see, it doesn't matter. You could say, well, you know, we're a Christian band. We don't have sexual. Yes, you do. I mean, you're a human being. So all of these things are factoring in to what's going on with your music. And the critic should be kind of like deconstructing what's going on and kind of giving the audience, the music fan, like a little bigger picture of what the music is really about. They should not be telling you, this sucks. That's not really, then you're just writing movie reviews. You know what I mean? Then you're just like, you know what I mean? If you want to say that that's fine. You can do that. It's totally cool. But that's not what real criticism is. Criticism is like a sort of a deconstruction of what's going on with the music, putting it in time and space, talking about the sort of like finer points of it, trying to kind of make sense out of it. Not telling people this is a piece of shit, you shouldn't listen to it.
I don't take criticism. I mean, that's just, people take criticism different ways. Some people take it personal. I don't take criticism at all. Hey, you might want to put that thing away, or hey, put better in the third. That's just the way it was, man.
Well, right, and I understand that, but that's really not what music criticism is supposed to be. That's more of a review. It's one thing to give a review and say, okay, it sounds like this, and if you like Cream, you'll like Led Zeppelin. I personally don't think this. You know, but these blanket statements, I think, are intentionally inflammatory just to get readers, just to get people to pick up the magazine and buy it. Nowadays, it's just to get people to argue with you on social media. You know, I mean, it's... And I think there's, like I said, I call shenanigans on a lot of what most people are trying to say is music criticism today. Just like what like a lot of people are trying to call film criticism. They don't. Most people don't understand what that is either. You know, they think, you know, well, I saw the movie and I liked it, so it was good. I saw the movie and I didn't like it. It sucked. Well, that's not film criticism. That's like a very kind of like very surface kind of review of what you experienced. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come back in a little bit, but let's go ahead. Can you share that link,
yep.
Lily? This is a band that I found because of Rock Rage Radio. And I'm going to play the track Indecision. This is a band called Sova. And you can go to sovasound.com and check them out. We're going to take a little break here and rock out to this. This is the track called Indecision, Sova on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. All right, Sova, Indecision from Sunsplash. You can go to sovasound.com. That's the boys' website there. And I want to thank Jim for the cool interaction we had this week on Facebook. It's always great to hook up with guys that are playing great rock. And so sovasound.com is the website, the band Sova. And you can go check them out there. They've got a great, you can just stream the tracks right there and rock out to them. So hope we did you well, Jim. All right, buddy. Okay, so you're listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is ludinirockandrollcircus.com.
You're in a singy kind of mood.
At least I'm not singing Barry Manilow. And so ludinirockandrollcircus.com. You want to get some behind the scenes stuff? You want some exclusive video, exclusive music, exclusive interactions? Go to lulombardimusic.com/innercircle. We are talking about albums. Like, we're getting about 10 of them, I think, that were the critics said, But fans said, we freaking love these records. Are you out of your mind? Real quick, on our Facebook post this week, I want to give a shout out to some of the folks that chimed in. Jason Pinkney said Aerosmith, Nine Lives.
I just have to interject with that. They did not have bad reviews, Jason. Sorry. I looked.
Brian, I wrote The Sex and Religion by Steve Vai. Brian Urso and Mark J. amened me on it. Thank you. Mark J. mentioned a Dream Theater album. And the pick, I'm sorry, Mark, is so small, I can't
see
what the album title is. But he also, he also mentioned And Justice for All and Load. What do you think of Load by Metallica? Keith?
I don't.
You don't like it?
He doesn't.
That's an awful, that's an awful record. I thought that was a joke when I first came to the well, my, that's, my... Man, but I like Injustice for All. Injustice was a cool album. It had some like couldn't hear the bass guitar on it, but I mean, it, I don't think there was one. But just Load is just the Metallica did, and I guess when we're saying in the latter stages of their career, because I don't know how long they're going to be going. So I mean, it's, they could go for another 10 years for all I know. But there's a couple albums here, you know, we'll say as of late, with their career that are fucking awful, just not good.
Well, if you
it's not as bad. It's as bad as saying anger. that thing just sucks out loud. There's no way in hell you put that out and think that sounds good. I mean, what are you smoked up on at that point? But they right.
Lily, what are you smoked on?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when I wrote the notes for to the show, when I wrote the blog post, I said, you know, please let us know any albums that you love that critics hated, even if you love Saint Anger. It's okay. We don't judge, but you suck if you like that.
No, you like what you like, and that's okay. That's all right. That's what makes the world go round.
There's no accounting for certain people's tastes. Billy Mink chimed in with a record that I do not know. Klaatu, 1973. I don't know Klaatu.
Nor do I.
John Stitchin says he loves that album, too. Mark, I had posted a picture of High Voltage. You guys want to talk about that next? And Mark Glinka said critics panned High Voltage.
They
sure as hell did, Mark. And Lily V6 is here to tell you all about it.
Oh, yay. High Voltage. 1976. Those concerned with the future of hard rock may take solace in knowing that with the release of their first U.S. album by these Australian gross-out champions, the genre has unquestionably hit an all-time low. Things can only get better, I hope. Meanwhile, there are some great songs on that album.
Yeah, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
So, yeah. That was kind of harsh.
TNT?
That's kind of harsh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just wrong. Completely wrong. There's that. Wait a minute. Hold a second. I got a cool version of TNT we could crank up for a second. Let me get it. There we are. This is some band we're going to try. I don't know who it's going to be. But whoa. And here we go.
You don't Black Hats.
Black Hats with a Z. That is one of my personal favorite AC/DC songs. Maybe we should do a podcast on the top 10 AC/DC songs.
I'm like totally cool with that.
You know, if you guys have Spotify, what Spotify does is each week they give you a Discover Weekly, and they pick songs based on the songs that you search and listen to,
right,
and what they think you might like. And they put together a little playlist where it runs about an hour or so. And one of the songs that came up today when I put it on, it was the AC/DC song that I had totally forgotten about from like the early 90s called Big Gun. Do you guys remember Big Gun?
Thing, yeah.
Do you remember Big Gun by AC/DC?
Big Gun.
Oh, that's a cool riff, dude.
I lost interest in AC/DC after probably mid-80s, man. Mid-80s. I just didn't really... It seemed like they were putting out... I mean, they're legendary, and I like them. I do. I'm not back. So, like, we'll go off right there. But
you just prefer...
It's one of those bands that just kind of, like, they start to regurgitate their own music, man. It's just
You don't want to hear AC/DC do like a. You want to hear them do like a techno album.
I swear to God, if they
break out synthesizers or something, like, I'm gonna be totally done with them. Like, but I listen to AC. I want my AC/DC to be the three chords, four on the floor, syncopated guitars, and I don't give a shit.
He don't give a shit.
Essentially, AC/DC has done the same album since over and over since Highway to Hell. Essentially, they change singers, but pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, and I just it was just trying to say that I think Back in Black, Highway to Hell, For Those About to Rock, I really like those records. I think those are their. I think after that, I know they had really big success with the one with that. What that was, the one with Thunderstruck on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but it starts to get to the point where it's like I can't one song from the other. It's like listening to Wild Vader bad too, because every goddamn.
It's like listening to Rush, I know.
You wish.
I'm kidding. What are you drinking? That's a big drink you have.
Beer.
What kind of beer?
I'm drinking beer.
What kind?
What kind of beer?
Coors Light.
You're not drinking.
Real... Huh?
You're not drinking Coors fucking Light. No, you're not.
Yeah. Oh, that's all I.
Why do you even have that?
I drank the goddamn place dry.
That's all that's left in New Orleans now. Keith has drank everything in New Orleans.
Hawkins House
that's
is dry.
That's it. It's it. So there's no...
But I tried the other day. Like a little beer. Dixie's a
what?
You like PBR, like cheap end kind of beer. That's kind of like... It tastes a little dirty and
band
raunchy.
Beer.
That place that's, you know, dirty. Deserved, you know, shitty bars and...
I can't do
Dixie.
Band beer.
Oh man, I tell you what, is it just me, or like in movies and TV shows, when somebody walks into a bar and the bartender asks them what they want to drink,
they say a beer.
They just say a beer or a whiskey. You don't. That's not how you order in a bar.
Give me a beer.
You don't say that. You say, I want a Coors Light. I want a Corona. I want a Yingling.
Unless, of course, you're me and you walk into a bar that you go into all the time and you just order it.
Right. But that's, I mean, it's like, you know, like.
Like Hofbra down the road knows what I drink now.
Hofbra. Oh, you're hanging a Hofbra now.
Sometimes. I can walk there.
Mm-hmm. So can I.
I used to go to that's back.
Maybe that's what we'll do. Maybe we should have Hofbra night.
It's skeevy. I do. I like it there. I don't care. The rape bathroom in the back, you know.
The what bathroom?
The rape bathroom back in the back corner.
Oh, my God. So why is it a rape bathroom?
Because there's a dark corner where the girls have to go pee.
They have to pee in a dark corner?
They do.
Yeah. Oh.
That's accurate.
Nah.
Their pizza's good, though.
I heard that they've got good wings.
I haven't been in that place in 20-some years. That's probably still the damn same.
You can't smoke in there.
Still rolling.
It was funny because not long, we had just moved here. And so I said, you know, I told Stu, I'm like, there's a place that there's a bar real close by the neighborhood bar we can walk to. So it's like, okay, cool. So we walked down there and it was all good. But on the way back, man, he was dying.
Well, that hill sucks.
He was dying because he's a heavy smoker, man, and he was just not having it.
If I'm pretty drunk, though, I don't care. It doesn't even bother me. I'm just like, I'll make it home eventually.
All right, so we're talking about stuff that, like, the audience has no clue. Are we have any comments?
We've got a lot of comments.
Let's, you know, we should probably know. We appreciate everybody's watching. Thank you. Sorry, we have been kind of wrapped up in our own little world here.
Lou is collecting you all.
It's nothing, like, super, super... relevance, but More Cowbell by Billy Mank. Jason Pinkney corrected you. It's old sock. It's an English term. Chris Thunderwolf, too many people are like sheep. They just follow what someone else says. Billy Mink. Critical listening is what we all should be
doing. I don't care.
As musicians.
Old sock, old socks, old underwear.
Old penis.
Come on,
okay,
come on. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I had tidy whiteys. I don't wear them anymore because they're baggy brownies. All right.
Oh,
so you're gonna call your album
God.
Baggy Brownie? No, you're not. Come on, Eric Clapton. You know, get back to playing real freaking music. Jesus, Glenn Hughes,
oh,
78 years old, puts most young rockers to shame. Can sing like a mofo. Scream it out there. Plays with the best, and Eric Clapton's like, I have to wear gloves now on my hands because I'm old.
He's fragile. Chris Thunderwolf, Not Much was good from them, Metallica, after Justice for All. And Mary Wall says, hi, guys. That's all I got.
Mary, armpits Harry.
I don't know, maybe. I don't know the rules.
I would be the first one to defend. Sorry, man. People can not know it's not a one up for some people. That took a lot of balls to make that record.
The Black Album.
No. Yeah. They laughed their ass off all the way to the freaking bank. Trust me. It takes a lot of balls to make folks pretty much go and do a record and say, you know what? We're going to make a bunch of songs that are radio friendly and are not 9 minutes long and have 25 guitar solos in them. They're still good. They still got a hook. All produced. It sounds big. You know what I mean? Simple chords, like, you know, simple riffs, like Enter Sandman, that took a lot of balls. I appreciate that from them. I mean, because they've already made their mark on metal. They could do whatever they wanted at this point. So you might get diehard metal people don't like it, but that's, like I said, I don't want to hear the same fucking album over and over again. It's ridiculous.
Well, my take on that record is that I think they kind of brought metal to the masses.
Yes.
You know, I mean, because it was so huge, they had big videos on MTV. I mean, they did. I mean, as great of a band as Iron Maiden and Judas Priest are, they kind of did what those guys couldn't quite do. You know, those guys, they kind of poked through. People knew who they were. They had a few hits, but Metallica became. They dominated. They dominated the radio. They were selling out stadiums, and they were metal. And yes, they did this hard rock album. They did this hard rock thing. But they still played all their metal stuff. And it got people that didn't know what metal was to give a listen to it. And they converted a whole bunch of new fans. So,
smart.
What do you think about it? Really?
I don't want to say. I'm not a fan of Metallica. I'm
You're
sorry.
Not a Metallica fan, like,
no.
At all.
I mean, a couple songs here and there.
Why
but
don't
I mean,
you like Metallica?
Because I prefer... Iron Maiden.
Okay.
It's
a different style. They have a different.
Yeah.
They have a different style.
I don't know, and I just think they're crybabies. I just think Metallica are crybabies. Not that their songs are bad, because they're not. I just don't like. I don't care to listen to them. So.
Do you guys? And I don't know if we're gonna get in trouble for doing this. Do you guys want to hear? Do you guys want to hear? This happened.
This whole thing is just
this
like
just
loud
happened.
To me.
This just happened. Nickelback put out a cover of Sad But True.
They only do like half the song.
They don't do the whole song, no. But it's they sound good. Check it out.
Dude, I've heard it. Good. Roll it. Let's jam a little bit.
For a band that is supposedly everybody hates, there's a lot of freaking people in this audience.
And they're having a good
time. And they're rocking the fuck out. Like, I mean, you can say whatever you want, man. Like, I don't get into, like, a whole Nickelback thing, but, like, I don't know, man. You know, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying.
You're not saying, you're just saying.
I'm just saying. So, anyway, so let's go. So, we've been, I don't even know what the last record, what was the last record we talked about?
High Voltage.
High Voltage! All right. So let's this next record. Who did High Voltage? Lily did High Voltage. What do you got there, Hawkster?
I'm actually going to go. This one's really. This is not even a critic that said this, but it's kind of a critic in his own mind. because I just can't believe he would actually say this, but it's true. Keith Richards' dog, Sergeant, he said it was rubbish. He said it was awful. He also thought several other Beatles out. I don't know if it's like jealousy thing or something, but yeah, the Stones are great. Keith Richards, take what it is. I don't even like, I think it's funny people would go actually out and say it. I've read an interview within the last few months about Stuart Cook. So, I mean, there's things that just surprise you that people say, but other bands. Keith Richards called Sgt. Pepper's rubbish. So that, you know,
well,
he didn't really write for a magazine.
I would imagine, I mean, there was a big rivalry between the Stones and the Beatles. Like, huge.
I'm sure.
Huge. So that doesn't completely surprise me.
I like the term rubbish, though.
Rubbish. It's total rubbish. I don't have it in my house.
Oh my God.
I don't have you running in and out like it's a public fucking convenience. You know, Keith, we should have a film festival and watch Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch back to back. I'm just saying.
Oh, I've seen both of those. Magic.
Why you want to do like a Guy Ritchie trip or whatever?
I used to have those movies on DVD. And I loaned them to somebody, and
that's why you never loan your DVDs.
So I got it. It's just an excuse to get them on Blu-ray now. Yeah.
I'd rather watch the Martin McDonagh back if I had to.
I know. I like those two movies. I thought, like, I don't think everything Guy Ritchie did was great, but I like those two movies. I thought they were fun.
I'm surprised, yeah. I've actually seen them.
I don't think I've ever seen. I've never seen both movies all the way through, or I don't remember.
On the DVD for Snatch, there's an option to turn on subtitles whenever Brad Pitt speaks. It's freaking awesome. But that's such a great. Anyway, so we digress. But So Nickelback does Metallica. And
I am going to the Metallica show, by the way.
Keith Richards hates Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and Lily is going to see Metallica, even though she hates Metallica.
Well, it's,
are you going to stand in the front row like this the whole time?
I might.
Fuck you, Metallica.
Hey, it's free. I'm going to go.
Look, you ain't no Motley Crue. That's all I'm saying.
That has nothing to do with it.
I dare you to go in the front row and yell out, "Lars, can you paradiddle?" Just keep asking them over and over again. Lars, can you paradiddle? Lars, can you paradiddle? And don't stop saying until they throw you up.
I would do that.
I paradiddled.
That would be awesome.
I paradiddled while we were listening to that last song. Right here.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know where my seats are, though.
That's why I can't wear tidy whities anymore.
Those are baggy brownies.
Hate both of you.
That's gonna be the next. That's gonna be our next album project, Keith. We're gonna be the Baggy Brownies.
I hate you guys so much. Hurt my face.
That's a messed up shit.
You're the Baggy Brownies.
But you remembered it. That's
this podcast has gone off the rails. We gotta hurry up. We got 2 minutes.
We have 6 choices.
No, I know we have 2 minutes because we only get an hour. Okay, I need to say this real quick. We only get an hour on Rock Rage Radio, okay? So we're on if you're listening to this on Rock Rage Radio, it's Sunday. It's almost 1 o'clock. And so thank you so much for hanging out and listening. We really appreciate it. But you're not going to get to hear all the good stuff. So this is why you have to go to the website and download the podcast, because there's like so much more that's going to happen that you're not going to get to hear. So if you want to know more about Baggy Brownies and... assorted conversations, then you need to go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com and get the actual download the podcast, because we're just out of control. But we really want to thank John Coons and Gigi for having us as part of the Rock Rage family. We love this Sunday afternoon spot. Awesome.
That's
right
after
spot. Church, you're driving home, put on the Ludini Rock and Roll.
Hard so rock you can and talk circus. About Baggy Brownies.
And next week...
Dude, you know Tuesday, right?
So, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate those of you who are listening on Rock Rage Radio. Now we're now back to our regular schedule program. Keith, yes, it is Tuesday right now, but we are on the website now. We're on the Rock Rage Radio website, and we are part of the regular rotation. So when people are listening to their Rock Rage radio feed, we come on Sundays. Just like, I don't know, whoever comes on Sundays on DVE or whatever. So that's what we get. That's our spot.
That's cool. Now that you compared it to DVE, that's cool.
I just was trying to... I was trying to say something.
Sunday we'll be spending the entire Donnie Irish and Clark self in the entire
Next week we'll be discussing. Next week's topic is Donnie Irish versus the Clarks. Go.
I'm not coming on that show.
I'll take Donnie any day. He's King Cole.
He's King Cole.
I drank with him once.
He's got a show coming up.
He drained the point by looking at it. He would just walk across it if not. Right. Donnie walks across the water.
Oh God! So, anyways,
it's out of control.
If you are listening on the Rock Rage Radio nationwide feed, Donnie Irish is probably Pittsburgh's like most famous rock export. And so, every once in a while, if you watch VH1 Classic, they do play the Aaliyah video.
Yeah.
So that's who Donnie Irish is. So send us a message if you know who Donnie Irish is. We're huge Donnie fans. You can't be in Pittsburgh and not love Donnie.
If you don't know who Donnie Irish is, then the hell with you.
Go straight to hell.
But check him out.
If you don't like Donnie Irish, you can just drink his water for the rest of the week.
He was in
if
you don't like Donnie Irish, put a booger in your blennies in your jumbo sandwich.
Oh my God.
Hey Keith, you want to? Hey Keith, you want to do today, dude? Yeah. I went down to Isley's, and I got a pound of chip chop, and a loaf of tan talk, and I had a great dinner tonight. It was awesome. And I listened to some Donnie Irish, and then I listened to some Skyliners after that, just to even it out.
Then after that, you should have got change out of the couch and that, and got some Mancini bread because that stuff. You got some Mancini. That's made in the bird.
Help.
You know what I'm saying?
The whole town's talking.
Help me.
All right, guys. We're almost done with Rock Rage Radio. This is our second week and our last week. So thank you
for knowing everybody.
So, anyways, guys. So what do we got? Let's see if we can get a few more in here because we're just having so much fun. I'm going to run out of computer memory.
Oh, my God. You want me to do another one?
Do it.
Van Halen 2. The second album is as imaginative as the title.
Ah.
After almost one careful listening, I'm utterly convinced that the members of Van Halen must have been up half the night creating it. What an effort. Which is true. They wrote it in like 6 days or something. But it's kind of accurate.
I just have one word to say. I got three words to say about Van Halen 2. Eddie Van Halen.
Not Eddie Van fucking Halen?
That's four words.
I know, but I'm trying to...
I mean, really, who said that?
Nobody.
Who gave the review?
Oh, I didn't. It's Rolling Stone. All the bad reviews are Rolling Stone.
Really? I mean, like, come on. Van Halen, are you kidding me? That's like... What's your favorite song off of Van Halen 2, Keith?
Van Halen 2?
Yeah. What's the best track?
Isn't there a bunch of covers on that one?
Well, they did covers all the time. That was one of their things.
I like Dance the Night Away.
I think that is one of my personal favorite Van Halen songs of all time.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, maybe we'll agree on it. I'll find another one that doesn't. I can't place that out right.
Well, there's some cool stuff on there.
Beautiful Girls. It's a good one.
Beautiful Girls. Oh, yeah. And there's great harmonies.
I like Fair Warning, man. I thought Fair Warning was a good
one. Somebody get me a doctor. Somebody get me a shot.
Yeah, that's killing.
Dance the Night Away. That's, you know. And that cover of You're No Good is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's fun. All right.
You're no damn good.
So, what do you got, Keithster?
All right, this one here is not so very rock and roll because I'm going to read this little comment from I think the LA Times or something. But when in 1977, Steely Dan released Asia, which I think is a masterpiece record. I'm sorry, that's a masterpiece record.
You
but
said
in 77,
master.
Punk was really big. And punk was, you got the whole you know, raunchy rock and roll thing. And actually, somebody said that Asia will continue to fuel the amusement by rock purists that Steely Dan is soulless by its calculated nature and is antithetical to what rock should be. So, I mean, it took you a while to, like, write that, but that, the guy was completely saying that Steely Dan is not rock and roll, punk is, and he was like, but
well,
I disagree.
Well, that was, and yeah, again, time goes by, and these records become really, you know, important to people. And a lot of those punk albums that they were like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever, this is going to change the world, nobody can even remember. But here's the track list on, there's only 7 tracks on Asia. And let me just get to run them down real quick. Black Cow, Asia, Deacon Blues, which is, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Ooh. Peg. I said Peg. Home at Last, I Got the News, and Josie. So, you know, it's a great album. Amazing music. Who's on that record, Keith? Do you remember?
Who's not on that record?
Wait a minute. I can pull up the personnel.
As drummers go, you got Steve Gadd on the title track. You got Bernard Purdy. Rick Murata's on the track,
Purdy.
I think.
He's Ralph Purdy.
There's a lot of master players on that.
Well, let me just write it down. I'm going to run it down for you. I'm going to tell you who's on the record. Victor Feldman, Joe Sample on keyboards, Paul Griffin, Michael Omardian, who went on to be like a really Grammy Award-winning producer, Don Grolnick, Larry Carlton and Lee Ritenour, two of the Dean Parks, Steve Kahn, Denny Diaz, like Jay Graydon. It's a huge who's who of studio musicians from that era, by the way. Chuck Rainey on bass, Paul Humphrey, Steve Gadd, Bernard Purdy, Rick Murata, Ed Green, all on drums, and Jim Keltner thrown in for good fucking measure. Tom Scott from the LA Express, Wayne Shorter. Oh my God, this is like Jim Horn, Bill Perkins, Jackie Kelso, Chuck Finley, Michael. Here's the background vocals, guys. Here's the background vocals.
Oh,
Michael McDonald, Timothy B. Schmidt, Shirley Matthews. I mean, these are like legends.
It's like a rock and roll fantasy team. Who's drafting who there? You know, we got the first round pick.
Forgot to mention Donald Fagen and Walter Becker.
Yeah, you know, that kind of important too.
But that's what I'm saying about a lot of the...
That was like, punk was, you know, ripping it up, so...
Well, I mean, and that's what I think my sort of issue with this sort of... kind of nose-in-the-air critics is like, if you can play and sing, it's like automatically you suck. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear none of that. You know, they want to hear... And I get it. You know, they want to hear that. I understand the street edginess of punk and, like, a lot of, like, gangster rap and all of that. I mean, I get EDM. I mean, I get, like, where they're coming from with that. But you shouldn't just throw something out just because guys can actually play.
This is true.
So, anyway, so we talked about Asia now from Steely Dan. How many are we up to, Lily V6? Since you have 6 in your name,
7.
You're responsible for counting. Really?
8.
Wait, we're up to 8. I thought we were more. Okay, so what do you got, girl?
Okay. I had another one. Okay, well, there was a bad review on Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast, and I only added it in there because it's Iron Maiden. The Number of the Beast blusters along aimlessly, proving again that bad music is hell. And that's for, Number of the Beast. I said that, 1982. Sorry.
Is that Rolling Stone?
Yes.
No taste. They have terrible taste.
I was mad about that one.
Rolling Stone, you have terrible taste in music. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
They really don't.
Number of the Beast, what can you say about that? That's brilliant.
We don't need to say anything.
What do you got, Hawk? That's number 9.
Let me go a little point around here. In 1997, this was the dud of the month, I think, in Rolling Stone magazine, was OK Computer by Radiohead, which I think the most influential band of the last 25 years, man. I mean, it's, they've done great amount
wait
of music.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Rolling Stone magazine didn't like OK Computer?
They did not.
What?
They said,
should be right up their alley. That should be right up their alley. Like, you know, it's trippy and weird.
It was called The Butter Tons in 1997 when it came out, and they said their idea of soul was listening to Bono, which makes them more ridiculous than they already are. That's what it was.
They didn't like Kid A either.
So,
they just didn't like Radiohead.
Is it and it's not my favorite Radiohead album, but I like that album.
Radiohead isn't, like, I get it, and I think they're a good band. They don't resonate with me as much, but I get them, and I do think that they're cool.
I'm gonna tell you what, though. No Counting Crows. I'll tell you that much. But
what I'm trying to say is, I'm not going there. Give me a second. What I'm saying is, like, right, almost everybody acknowledges what an important band, even a hardcore rocker like me, acknowledges what an important band Radiohead is. You mean Rolling Stone? See, this is why Rolling Stone, in my opinion, needs to stop. Because they're completely, they can't even get Radiohead right. And that's like, that should be right up your alley.
You would think.
I don't know if they dogged every Radiohead album. They dogged that one, which I think was a very good record. I mean, but Radiohead has dogged, you know, umpteen records after that. And I don't know, I've never read every review, but that was one that stuck out to me to be like, okay, that one's a pretty good record and shit all over
it. It's considered like, good.
You know, saying that you're ridiculous and to Bono. I mean, it's not. I listen to Bono. I have several.
More than one.
Am I ridiculous?
Okay, so we got to 10, but nobody mentioned.
I'm not going to mention that. Nobody mentioned
Nevermind. Nevermind got panned when it came out.
Yep.
In Rolling Stone magazine.
Yep.
Ain't that something?
Yeah, I heard that. In the intro got smashed too. About.
I am kind of surprised though that they did. Seems like a Rolling Stone sort of thing.
Check it out. This is a Rick, based on the true story. We're not going to listen to ad for White Boy Rick. Hold on.
Frog Leap Studios.
Oh, this is Frog Leap Studios.
Oh, you're on.
I, my eyes. You I'm so
you
dumb.
The wrong thing.
That Nirvana's version?
This is Frog Leap Studios. These guys are I guess they promote their recording studio by doing these covers. So check it out. All the way from Norway, eh? Leo and Stein Moracioli from Norway. Frog Leap Studios. I just want to give these guys a shout out. I'm a huge fan of their YouTube channel. They have a great YouTube channel. And they do metal versions of, like, anything. They do a metal version of Salt of the Swing.
What?
I'm just saying.
Really?
Like, you know, and some of them kind of work and some of them don't, but they're great musicians and they cover all, it's just the two of them, they cover all the instruments themselves. And if you're in Norway and you're looking for somebody to produce your record and your rock, you might want to check them out.
I might think about that.
But never mind, we'll do this as an honorable mention, was panned by Rolling Stone when it first hit. So, okay, so what's our list, Lil? Lil, what's our list, Lil?
We have...
Lil, give me a pistol.
Wow. We have Led Zeppelin.
And your children look like fucking Bigfoots, Lil.
Are you good?
Give me goo-goo, Lil.
I'm going to fuck you guys up.
You jump up out of the boat, says Umagumu. What the fuck is Umagumu, Lil?
Anyway, we have Led Zeppelin, Sgt. Pepper's, OK Computer, Van Halen 2, Nevermind, Steely Dan, Asia, Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, Black Sabbath, Are you experienced Jimi Hendrix, AC/DC High Voltage, and Cream Wheels of Fire?
And
Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Bob's your uncle.
Those it are is 10 plus one honorable mention.
There's too many to name, but
I have a couple more, but that was just extras.
A couple morbid?
Morbid.
A couple morbid.
Yes.
We have any comments on our...
We have no more comments. Everybody asked if we were going on to our other...
I guess people are like, shut up. We're ready to go get private with you guys.
Yeah, they're sleepy now. They want to hear all the dirty stuff.
All right, so we're going to go tell some dirty jokes on our private thing there. So if you're interested in that, go to loulombardimusic.com/innercircle and sign up. And you'll get automatic access to our inner circle. And then you can hear all the real dirty jokes. And Keith will tell you. Tune in next time when Keith Hawkins says.
It was a fucking earthquake. Holy shit. Bat down the hatch.
Oh, my God.
Sugar. So anyways, guys, so LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. You can go there and download the podcast. If you haven't already, please share it around because this is how we promote music in 20...
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it. In 2018, almost 2019.
Ugh.
So we are going to wrap up out of here. Guys, go around the room. Anything you would like to announce, talk about before we boogie on Reggae Woman?
My show is on Thursdays, Hot Licks with Lily Six, Rock Rage Radio, 6 p.m. Okay, I was waiting for it. Also, I'm going to be hosting the Never Wake Sleepwalkers Ball on October 20th at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Get that ball.
As Elvira.
What is it again? Sleepwalkers Ball?
The Sleepwalkers Ball.
What is that?
It's the band Never Wake. They have a following called the Sleepwalkers, and they do a ball to promote UPMC's Children's Hospital. So I will be hosting as Elvira. Tits out.
Elvira.
Yes. So that's October 20th, so get your tickets. I believe it's $10 and $15 for all the things.
What do you got, Hawkster? Any
this Friday, I'll be at the El Paso Mexican Grill playing drums in Boston Cape this Friday in Luling. I don't know how to pronounce it yet, but I will be there at the. There will be tacos and music. So, yeah.
Woo! My favorite things.
Down in Louisiana.
Down in Luling or Luling.
Oh, God. Anyways, guys, we whittled away yet another. Ludini Hard Rock and
that
Metal
hour
Circus.
Just like went like that.
I know. We could just sit around and be bullshit and entertain ourselves, can't we?
It's because we have nothing.
Because we could talk just to hear ourselves talk. Right. Right? Is that really what's going on? Oh shit. Alright, I guess we're gonna end it.
Alright.
Yeah.
So don't let it end, but we gotta end it. All right, guys, we're going to head over to our private group. And if you want to do that, you can go to loulombardimusic.com/innercircle, and where we're going to talk about the real dirty jokes. And I'm going to show Lily how to upload her podcast. Her radio show. Sorry. She doesn't have a podcast. She's a radio show.
Close enough.
There you go.
Everybody calls it a podcast regardless. So. Okay.
All right, we're going to get out of here. This is Jack Berry, not Chuck Berry. Jack Berry, Bad Dog. And you
what about Mark?
Yeah, and you guys have a great... You guys have a great week. Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. We'll catch you next time.